So, Hari Bol, are you also feeling a little bit more tired than usual? Then I'm not the only one with mixed emotions. I think it's because we are higher than usually. And I mean higher in the sense of meters. We are are we more than 1,000 meters high? Wie viel? 1,100? 1,400. Wonderful. This means we are out of our comfort zone. That's good. So, something is still being prepared. Let me already start while we do the technical arrangements. I want to welcome you very much for this second round of our Krishna Katha. I do remember something which I wanted to share with you on the subject matter of hearing about Krishna. Many years ago, when I wrote the book The Way of the Great Departure, I was traveling up the mountains in Haridwar. We started our journey in Haridwar and we ultimately went to Badarikashrama. And Badarikashrama is more than 4,000 meters high, I think 4,500 or so. And we stayed up there for a time of 2 weeks where we had regular darshans of Bhadri Vishal El Narayan deity, which is there since a very, very long time. Very, very long time, since ancient times. In fact, this deity appears already in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the four Kumaras tell Gop Kumar he should go into this valley and see Lord Narayan there in Badrinath. So, I remember that one day we were invited by the pujaris to be there, and they asked me to recite a shloka. Now, I want to recite the shloka, but as I know the Hare Krishna people, when there is some diversion, everyone looks at what's going on. So maybe we should just look at Jai Gopal and Ananda at Chaitanya to make them feel very comfortable. we try to bring Chitra here and Ramananda. So that's what we're presently doing here. They will come into this cable, hopefully, and then out of the loudspeakers. Yes? Sit with us, Jai Gopal. Finished? Yeah. Good. So I was there in Badrinath, and the pujaris wanted to test my Sanskrit knowledge, which, as you know, is very small, very humble, very poor. So I also knew that they were there to test the Hare Krishna movement by picking one piece of rice, one grain of rice from the rice pot. In other words, they took Sachinandan Swami from all the other members and investigated him by pressing him for his Sanskrit knowledge. So by Krishna's mercy, I knew one shloka, which I thought was very relevant to them. I described to them Vyasadeva, who was sitting maybe 5 kilometers from where we were now sitting, and meditating. And by the process of meditation, he actually saw Lord Vishnu. And Apashritam, a little in the distance, behind him, the illusory energy who stood there waiting for the command of Lord Vishnu. And the idea was clear, when you connect with Lord Vishnu by the Bhakti Yogena Manasa, by the process of Bhakti Yoga, which you do in your mind, then you will see Lord Vishnu uncovered by Maya. In other words, you will see him purely before you, and you see Maya behind him, not before him. Maya is not any longer covering the darshan of Lord Vishnu, like a curtain covers an actor on a theater stage. No, no. When you apply the linking process of Bhakti Yoga, you see first Krishna, and you are no longer deceived or covered in your perspective by Maya. So I was telling them this all in Sanskrit. Somehow Krishna empowered my memory. And then I ended my little sermon, my little preaching to the pujaris by saying that by the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is particularly culminating in the hearing of the Bhagavatam, three results come. Shoka, Moha, Vayapaha. That is, your lamentation goes, your illusion goes, and your fear goes. Siddheshwari gets big eyes as the fear goes. When you actually hear the katha of Lord Krishna, you will feel, if it works, that your lamentation goes, your desires, your hankering, your illusions go about your goal of life, and also your fear regarding the future goes. But again and again, I would like to bring to your attention that hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is a yoga process where you need three things. You need to have Shraddha in what you do, you need to do it regularly, Nitya, Da, and you also need to do it with Svacheshtitam, with an endeavor to stay focused. So today, I will again invite you into the process of hearing the Bhagavatam together with me. I will today promise to you that if you make the endeavor to stay attentive, that your shoka, moha, and bhaya will flee away from you. Your fear, your illusion, and also the things you lament about will go as you absorb your mind into this beautiful katha. Are you ready? I'm looking, is the window ready? Is the window open? Yes, but it is. We have a new song for you. Yeah. it's from Gopal Champu, which describes Krishna as he enters Mathura. And I will sing it with you. It says, "Glory to you, O Lord, who delighted the people of Mathura. O Lord, who delighted the people of Mathura. O Lord, whose pastimes delighted the people of the city. O hero, who enchanted the women of Mathura." And then it describes some of Krishna's activities which we hear. "O Lord, you took away Kamsa's garments from a washerman, O Lord, and you gave your own splendor to a tailor that pleased you. O Lord, you flood with mercy your devotees. O Lord, you fulfill the desires of a florist." As Krishna was being moved away from Vrindavan, he must have felt in very, very deep emotions. Krishna, this is what one commentator said one tree, saw one tree, and this tree had heart-shaped leaves. And as he was passing by this best of trees, the pipala tree, he remembered it is under these pipala trees which have the shape, whose leaves have these hearty shapes, that he would meet with Srimati Radharani. How must the Lord have felt when he left those trees behind, and when he entered the town of Mathura, where Kamsa lived every day hoping for him to come so that he could kill him? The Lord of Love goes to Mathura. Many of his devotees have written songs about it. Rupa Goswami has written about Yashoda, who would go every day on the road which went to Mathura, and she had a bag with him, with herself, a bag with the toys of Krishna, the toys which Krishna loved to play with. Yashoda could only stand on that road to Mathura, and in one hand this bag of toys with which he wanted to give pleasure to Krishna. The woman came and said, Yashoda, it is the hot sun, the noon sun. Your son will not return to Mathura, nor can you go to Mathura. Move out of the sun. The sun will kill you. The sun of separation. But Yashoda was unable to move. Yashoda only lived for Krishna to return. So Akrura, it's very moving, but I move on because, as I said yesterday, if we get into this subject, our katha stops, and for every day we will just cry. Maybe we should do that. Maybe it's a good idea. So let us have a little lighter mood here. No, this goes deeper. Yes. So Akrura brought Krishna to Mathura, and as the town was visible, Akrura said, could you please come to my home and bless my home, my dear Lord? The Lord, in a very soft voice, answered, no, uncle, it's not yet time. I first have to see my father and the cowherd men who wait for me on the outskirts. And can you come afterwards? No, uncle. There are some pastimes for me to do in Mathura. Then he said, he looked at Akrura, I will kill my other uncle, Kamsa. Krishna, like a little boy with lotus eyes, you know, very high voice, talking about the mission to maintain Dharma in the universe. Then I will go for schooling to Avantipur. And when I have finished my Gurukul, then I will come to your house. I will first see my devotee, some other devotees, then I will see you. Prepare. So from that day on, we hear Akrura was always preparing his home for Krishna to come. In the Bhagavatam, we do not find any mention that Akrura was present in the wrestling arena where Krishna would confront the restless and then liberate Kamsa. Akrura was at home putting everything in order. No, this is better here. Krishna would come to his house one day. In our Vaishnava literature, my dear devotees, we find this motive very often, that devotees prepare for the Lord to arrive in their place. For instance, Shabari, a woman of the Ramayana, who had heard from her guru that Ram would visit that part of the forest where they had their hermitage. Shabari would every morning cleanse the road, then go to pick some berries and eat the berries to find out which one was sour and therefore unfit to be offered to Ram and which one was sweet and therefore fit to be offered to Ram. She prepared. Her life was one preparation to that moment. Finally, she had gray hair. She was very old. Her sari had many holes, and she was still every morning, Ram, 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 preparing the road. Until one day she heard the sound, "Oh Shabari, I have come." And when she turned around, she saw the greenish complexioned body of her Lord Ram, which was very strongly and beautifully built, with his very shy eyes. Ram had a very shy, looked very shy, very humble. He would often look down on the ground. He was the perfect example of modesty. Modesty in Deutsch ist Bescheidenheit. So, in this way, there are many narrations, and Akrura fits into one of these categories. First of all, he was ecstatic to see the footprints of the Lord on the ground of Braj, and jumped from his chariot and rolled on the ground. Shukadev Goswami said, that perfection of Akrura to feel ecstasy when he was brought into contact with something which reminded him of Krishna is the perfection of every human being. When you hear in the morning the conch shell and are reminded of the darshan of Krishna, your perfection will be to jump out of your Swiss beds or Belkane beds, run down the stairs and then see the Lord as he stands on the altar waiting for you in order to bathe you with his compassionate glance. So, okay. After Krishna and Balaram, Akrura was decorating his house with flowers every day. And he was thinking, where will Krishna and Balaram sit? Where will the other boys who come with them sit? What will Krishna eat? Let me arrange a jar for him to clean his hands. My dear devotees, this is a little meditation I want to give to you. Whenever I come to a country like Switzerland, I always have something which I want the devotees to learn. This year, those who have been in the lectures, this year my message is very brief and very short. Start serious construction work. Build the temple of your heart. Yeah? This is my message, and here is example of a devotee who decorates his house thinking, where will Krishna and Balaram sit and where will the other boys sit? Good. Now, we want to accompany Krishna and Balaram as they walk for the first time through the town of Mathura. Gopal Champu says what Krishna and Balaram did there. Jaya Krita Mathura Pravesha Babuka. Mathura Janata Subhagam Babuka. The Lord came to Mathura to bless his devotees and delight them by the vision of his beautiful form. So it was sometimes at noontime when Krishna and Balaram arrived at the camp of their father, and they immediately, without taking any food, said that they wanted to see the town of Mathura. Just like when Nikunya Rasa and her husband come to a country like Switzerland, they want to see all the mountains and all the sightseeing places which Switzerland has to offer. I think they have seen more already than any Swiss person. So Krishna Balaram, this comes from the original Krishna Balaram, this desire. Wanted to also do some sightseeing in Mathura. But of course, that was a pretext. They wanted to give darshan to the devotees. So although Krishna is the Supreme Lord, present in all atoms, and knows therefore everything, he was very excited to see his devotees in Mathura. Balaram came along because he had received instructions by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Wherever Krishna goes, Balaram, you have to be next to him like a shadow, because Krishna doesn't know his natural limitations. And you have to be there to just check him that he doesn't do anything beyond his natural limits. So in this way, Krishna and Balaram went down the road of Mathura with some other cowherd boys following them a little behind. How did Mathura look at that time? So that you can think a little bit. Well, Shukadev Goswami says that before the houses were gates made out of pure gold. There were many towers which reached to the sky. There were different living quarters for the guilds, we would say in English, but for the vanas, you know, those craftsmen who were good with wood, lived in one section of the town. The brahmanas looked at another, lived in another section. And everything was extremely opulent, decorated with vaidurya stones. There were diamonds on the houses, crystal quartz, which is for good vastu, sapphires, coral, pearls, and emeralds. There were flags everywhere flapping in the breeze. And Krishna and Balaram would walk down the street. It is very, very wonderful to say, as they were walking through the street, the women saw Krishna and Balaram, whom they had heard so much about. And they immediately called each other, Devi, Devi, from one house to the other. They are here. Krishna and Balaram are here. And as they looked down the road, they saw that this one quality from Krishna's body was totally enchanting them. Krishna's body is called Lavanya. Lavanya means a special shine which comes from inside. And the example is a mother pearl. Do you see this mother pearl which comes from the ground of the Arabian Sea? Do you see a little light looking into your face, Naveena Neerad? A little bit? Oh, Jai Gopal needs to see because brother's sleeve is just 50 centimeters away from him. This is Lavanya, a natural shine which comes from the inside. So when people looked at Krishna, they would see that shining which came from here. Prabhupada said always, although Krishna is black, he is not dark or dull. He was shining from inside. I have something for you. Where Jiva Goswami describes the emotions which someone feels who sees Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, when the people in Vrindavan saw Krishna, they made a great noise. They came quickly running out of their houses. They developed slack limbs. Slack means not firm any longer. And they quivered. It is described when the cowherd boys of Krishna were together with Krishna, their bodies began quivering as if they were dancing. They were so blissful. The black, white eyes of Krishna's friends filled with tears when they saw him. No one who saw Krishna could be completely satisfied. And then when the cowherd boys embraced Krishna, waves of joy appeared such that they could not identify themselves to the Lord. They couldn't say, I'm Sridham or Idam, I'm Sudham. They could just say, bliss. Also, the cows and other animals were so excited when they saw Krishna that they acted like the inhabitants of Braj. When Krishna just entered the forest, imagine the trees became so heavy that the flowers sprung open and they blossomed in joy. Sometimes they would lose a leaf which would fall on Krishna's delicate body and made an imprint. And Krishna would just be very joyful, greeting all the animals and everyone in Vrindavan. Krishna, in other words, would always respond. Not that people were just joyful in seeing Krishna, but Krishna would respond. I remember when I was a little young boy, I thought the most beautiful woman in the world was Brigitte Bardot. Now she's old. Most probably you don't know Brigitte Bardot. She was the dream of every teenager who was above puberty. So I remember I once went to France just to see my Brigitte Bardot. And I knew she would come down one street because she would go to her film set, you know, where she would make film. And I would stand there, and many people would stand there looking at Brigitte Bardot. I don't know if I say it correctly. Maybe Gurahari has to correct me, but he will think it's Maya, so he won't say the word. So I remember, there were many people. She was really beautiful. She looked more beautiful than a tree in full blossom. If this is an apt analogy, I do not know so well. And I remember I just looked at her and I just so much hoped that Brigitte Bardot would look at me. But she just passed. She was very busy and she looked very She didn't look so beautiful as I had imagined, because she was in a great haste, I think. Mind was somewhere else. So Krishna was not like this. The whole town of Mathura was there looking at Krishna. The beautiful women were looking down from the roofs of the houses, and they would shower flowers on Krishna. And Krishna would look at every one of them and nod to them and smile to them. Krishna would not ignore them like Brigitte Bardot ignored me. Maybe that's why I became a sannyasi. It was extremely painful. Can you imagine a young boy just, you know, traveling 500 kilometers, you know, no money in his pocket, just wanting to see, and she just goes. It was very hurtful. Krishna is responding to each one of his devotees. It's described here in the scriptures that the brahmanas were also there. Let me try to find this for you. And they were standing at the roadside, hoping to see their Lord Krishna. They had little pots, and they had dova grass, and they sprinkled water on Krishna's immaculate spiritual body and chanted Swaha, and may you live long, Swastu, 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 and so on. And Krishna looked at each one of them and smiled at them. They felt, my life is perfect. Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, has smiled at me. It is described later by Shukadev Goswami that even old people who were just next to their death would look at Krishna, and as the Lavanya... from the pearl like body of the Lord came out, they became free from old age and from death. The Lord just empowered them with his beautiful glancing. Krishna does this because in his mind is only one thought. Here are my devotees. They have waited so long to get my darshan. Now I will give them my darshan, but I will give them also an increased sense of attachment to me. See, when Krishna gives darshan, he always increases the attachment of the devotee who sees him, so that the darshan of Krishna makes the devotee, just binds the devotee to Krishna. As we will see a little later, Krishna always has in his mind one thing. He wants to bring out the love of his devotees. Recently I heard a little story. When you love someone very much, and that person comes in danger, then you go mad. This is what Krishna did when he killed the Kaliya demon. He entered the river Jamuna and playfully approached the Kaliya demon, and then had his Leela. He swam around the Kaliya serpent, and Kaliya followed him, and while his devotees were standing there, just their love was going out to Krishna, 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 Krishna. Finally, Krishna allowed himself to be captured by Kaliya, and Kaliya just took him in his coils and pressed him very much, and the devotees, we can imagine even more than Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then when everything became too much, and Balaram thought, Krishna, you can't do this to your devotees, this is already above the limit, stop this, end this, Krishna jumped on the hoods of Kaliya. And what does the Lord of Love do to bring even more love out of his devotees? He
He starts to dance and make music with his... And the devotees, you know, after just having seen that their Krishna was always destroyed by Kaliya, now he's jumping on the hoods and dancing and smiles, and they just go, "Oh, Krishna." Then Krishna finishes the demon, and then he comes out of the Yamuna. His yellow dhoti is wet, and his pitambara is wet, and is on his beautiful body. You know, when a beautiful body, which is very beautiful, is slightly veiled by wet cloth, woof, then it's really beautiful. I hope the advertisement industry will not discover this, you know, the secret from Krishna's pastime. You know, then, so Krishna is always bringing out the love of his devotees to a superlative extent. When someone actually sees Krishna, it's such a strong experience that the love of Godhead immediately enters his heart to a superlative degree. This is the power of Krishna Darshan. So the rasa will now slightly change, but I beg you again to follow Shukadev Goswami's. Let us see how the whole town of Mathura greets Krishna. The ladies in Mathura who heard that Krishna was passing by were not able to finish their massage. You know, they were in the bathroom doing self-massage. They were not able to finish their bath. They couldn't even finish the breastfeeding of their children. Some of them were in a marriage ceremony, but they left the ceremony without circumambulating their husbands. They took the flowers and the corn shells and greeted the Lord of Beauty. This is how beautiful Krishna was. Then the brahmanas saw Krishna, and they gave him benedictions, offered yogurt, pots of water, sandalwood paste and garlands. So as Krishna, who was well aware that the whole town was mesmerized in looking at him as he entered Mathura, as Krishna walked through Mathura, he thought, "I am dressed in Vrindavan style, but now I need to dress in the style of the city, Damodapriya. Now you need to wake up. It gets very intense." So, you know, like, I do not know if you feel also when you are entering a city, you feel, "Let me take a better dhoti," you know. "Let me take a better sari," you know. It is more appropriate, you know. So Krishna, wanted now an outfit which was suitable for the town. So he walks down the Rajapata, meets the Rajapat, the royal road of the king, and he sees a washerman. It's the washerman of the king. Shukadev Goswami says he was also not just a washerman, he was a Rangakara. That means he was able to dye clothes and make nice colors and ornaments. He was really the favorite washerman and cloth supplier of Kamsa. And Krishna went to him and said, "Please, can you give me some cloth?" So beautifully Krishna says it. Can you give me some cloth, please? If you give this charity, I will give you the Param Shreya. I will give you wealth, health, and spiritual liberation. So the washermen must have looked on Krishna and Balaram and the friends, and he must have felt their extraordinary influence. But because he was a demon since many births, he didn't react in the way the devotees reacted. We have heard when devotees have darshan of the Lord, their love is increased a millionfold. When the washerman saw Krishna, his hatred was invoked a millionfold. And out of proportion, he reacted like a volcano which exploded with heavy fire. It is said that when the end of a life, when the end has come for a person, he starts to speak very harsh words or becomes most offensive. You can see when a bad person comes to the end, the bad things come out. I have seen this very often, and we will see this a little later with King Kamsa when he comes to the threshold from where he will not return. He starts to abuse Nanda Maharaj. My dear devotees, an offensive tongue which attacks others is always a sign of self-destruction. So the washerman exploded with rage. He said, should I say what he said, or is it too heavy for you? You don't know, so I will say a moderate version. How dare you? You are living in mountains and villages. Now you wish to dress like a king? I can see usually you have sticks and gamshas. Get out of here if you desire to live. I'm not killing you now, but I'm ready to forgive you. However, if I inform the king's men, they will tie you up, kill you, and loot all your possessions. They will rob your houses. So Krishna looked at the washerman who had threatened him to be reported to the king's police and had threatened that his death, and therefore the washerman, Krishna, thought about something else. See, in a previous life, this washerman had separated Sita from him. Yes, when King Ram was walking down the street in the evening to report what were the sentiments of his citizens, he had seen a ghastly scene where one washerman chastised his wife. He said, you were out last night. I don't accept you any longer. I'm not like Ram, who takes on a woman back to his castle, back to him, who had spent a night with someone else. Go, leave this house. I'm not a handpicked person. And the wife, sobbingly and cryingly, had left. So Ram thought, this is what the people think about me, that my character is corrupted by attachment. And he had made the decision to separate himself from Sita by requesting her to go to the forest and give birth to her children there. Krishna remembered that and touched the washerman.
Bhakti Vipala massage to you.
Krishna touched him with the front of his hand, and immediately his head came off his body and dropped down to the ground. The assistants of the Varshaman became so scared that they dropped all the bundles of exquisite royal dress and ran into all directions. They must have thought, let us quickly run away into all directions, because Krishna will come after one of us, but then the other are in security. This is an old technique in street fighting. I also learned it when I learned this art. When someone attacks you, you don't run with your friends in one direction. You all splinter and go all over town. Then the one who comes after you can only get one of you and not all of you. So they just ran away, and the donkeys jumped up and down, and the cloths came all over. It was a big pile of cloth. And Krishna very elegantly went to this cloth. You must know, my dear devotees, Krishna hadn't come to Kamsa, to Mathura, on a peace mission. Krishna had come to go to Kamsa, who had tortured his dear parents Vasudev and Devaki. Krishna was now taking cloth away, the cloth of the king, to give a signal to the king. I'm now taking your cloth, but soon I will take more and everything from you. Krishna killed the washerman to give Kamsa the message. I'm here to take everything away from you and make you clothless. And then he also showed mercy to the washerman and delivered him from his demoniac life. There's a long description now in the Bhagavatam. Krishna took the cloth and dressed himself very nicely with turban. By his arrangement, one tailor came to render service. This tailor took the cloth and immediately cut it in the right proportions. Krishna's proportions, the Balaram's proportions, and he did not forget to make ornaments for Krishna. But these ornaments were made from cloth, because the tailor knew Krishna will soon wrestle, and when you wrestle and have these sharp ornaments, it's not very comfortable for the body. He needed soft ornaments, the Lord. Krishna then was dressed by the weaver, by the tailor, in soft silk cloths of gold color, embedded with ornaments. And Krishna and Balaram now looked resplendent, each in his own unique, wonderfully ornamented outfit. They resembled a pair of young elephants, one white, Balaram, and the other black, decorated for a festive occasion. Maybe we can see Krishna and Balaram just so that we have a picture in our mind how the fully ornamented Krishna Balaram must have looked as they walked down the royal pathway. Good. Yes. Wonderful. You can see the turbans. You can see here are peacock feathers, which is typical for Vrindavan. I don't know, Madhavananda, does Krishna wear a peacock feather outside of Vrindavan? No. Oh, Sanatana Goswami says peacock feather only in Vrindavan. So, the peacock feather is not authentic here. There's a lot of discussion about peacock feathers in our movement. So here is another point. Yes, the devotees like to know. Thank you very much. Yes, we have one more episode. And now, Krishna needed very beautiful ornaments. Krishna remembered Vrindavan at that time. Do you know the favorite ornaments of Krishna in Vrindavan? Sorry? Gunja berries? Gunja berry is a berry which is whitish and is a little, has a little reddish tip, so to say, of the berry. Yes, he likes to wear garlands of Gunja berries. Any other ornaments of Krishna and Vrindavan? What? Sindamani? Chintamani. Yes, Chintamani. Yes. I think, Richie, you had an idea. Earrings. What is the form of the earrings? Like sharks. They dance. They're like the god of love. And when they dangle back and forth, they make a certain shine on Krishna's, how do you say, cheek. Any other decoration? What? Flowers? What flowers? Forest flowers? Karnikara flowers? They look like trumpets. They herald Krishna's victory over the god of love, who is swinging already and shaking. And because the god of love's symbol is this makara, shark-like or dolphin-like earrings are shaking because above them is a Karnikara flower, which is like a trumpet, a victory trumpet. Krishna is victorious over the god of love. I remember he has also lotus flowers, Champaka flowers, Kostuva gem. He has also a pearl necklace. And do you know what he does with the pearls? He sometimes breaks them and feeds them to his spawn devotees. Vrindavan. So from Vrindavan, Krishna is accustomed to flowers. So he thought, the dress is there, it's nicely tailored according to my size. So then he went straight to the house of Sudama. Su means wonderful and Dama means garland. His family tradition was to make and offer garlands. There were different types of flowers which were surrounding his house, and it was a beautiful house. When Sudama saw the two transcendent brothers, he bowed down with his head on the ground and first gave them an asana. And then, quickly running around in his house, he thought Krishna and Balaram have come, and he took some of the ready-made garlands and already offered them to Krishna Balaram, who were sitting on the asana. This way Sudama served them. Then with his own hands, he bathed the feet of the Lord and massaged them. And then he said something which I think is very significant. It is very significant for all devotees who are Krishna conscious, because it is said that when a devotee makes contact with Krishna, all his forefathers benefit. Huh? So Sudama prays, "O my Lord, my birth is now sanctified, and my entire family, including my forefathers, are freed from all contamination. You have liberated them all from the influence of their previous activities." Yes, so when Jai Gopal is a devotee, then the oil evaporates in the pot in which one of his forefathers is smoldering in the hellish planets. And the Yamadutas asked, "What happened here? We wanted to toast this person and make him into a prakora, but the oil has gone." It's because Jai Gopala has become a devotee.
This is how it is described. I'm trying to wake some of my audience up. That's why I say it like this.
Sudama, the flower maker, glorified Krishna in another very nice verse, which I want to read to you. He said, "O Krishna," imagine God is at his house with a garland from Sudama. "You look at everyone with unbiased vision. Although you reciprocate your devotee's loving worship, you always remain equally disposed towards all living being." See, Krishna actually wishes well to everyone, but different people have different receiving capacities. Krishna is like the sun. The sun, when it shines on blind people, the blind people ask, "Where's the sun? I can't see. I can't see." The sun also shines on the sunstone, which is called Suryakanta. The moment the sun shines on the Suryakanta, the sunstone begins to dazzle effulgently in the sun. So is the sun partial? Is he withholding his rays from the blind man? And is he distributing his rays overabundantly on the sunstone? No. Krishna is unbiased. He's equal. Samohang Savabhuteshu. He's equal to all living entities. But according to the receiving quality of the living entity, someone is Krishna conscious and the other falls asleep. It's so important, my dear devotees, that in this human form of life, we expand our receiving quality. That means that in our lives, we should see that our heart becomes a little bit free from the material desires and the different types of preoccupations. Only in a heart which is free from the trash of material thoughts can we receive Krishna very nicely. I think this especially comes true when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like we will do on our 12-hour Kirtan day. When our receiving capability is greater, then we can stay more attentive with the holy name. But when our heart is so full and our receptive quality is small or not yet very trained, we are becoming bored when we hear the holy name, or we become diverted. Now, it's very interesting that in transcendental theology, when we hear that our when we notice we are so unattentive to Krishna, it doesn't really matter so much, Because when we hear more about Krishna, or if we chant more Krishna's name, then this Krishna Katha will enter like nectar into our ears and heal our damaged hearts. Or the holy name will enter into our heart and purify it from all the bitterness, from all the material impressions, so that it becomes easier for us to chant more and more and more with full attention. Krishna wants that we receive him more and more, and therefore to hear how Sudama made a royal reception, although he was a poor man and only had flowers, is very nice. Sudama then, after he had ended his prayer, where he said, Krishna, you are equal to one and all, but you are especially merciful to your devotees. When he came into total ecstasy, and he asked for service, then he used his brain power, and he understood what service would Krishna like from me. And he could understand the Lord must have come to him because he needed flowers. He wanted flowers. So he told his wife, because he understood that the Lord engages everyone according to his qualification. So he and his wife made the most first-class garland he had ever done, with a variety of fresh and most fragrant flowers. Then he made a special garland for Balaram, and also garlands for all of his friends. Krishna was so satisfied when Sudama finally paid his obeisances and was lying before him, that he said, asked any benediction. Now, my dear devotees, I want to ask you for a moment, what would you ask for if Krishna would personally stand before you and say, you can have any benediction which you want? I have done this often. What are good things to ask Krishna? I think we wouldn't ask him for new cloth or for a little money. I'm thinking of Parikshit Maharaj, who asked for three things: love for Krishna, affection for his devotees, and compassion to all living entities. That is what he wanted at the end of his life, when there was an opportunity to ask for blessing. Sudama asked for something very interesting. He said, Sopiva vrechalam bhaktim tasmin eva kilatmani tat bhakteshu sasohadam puteshu chadayam param. Sudama chose unshakable devotion, achalam bhaktim, for Krishna, friendship with his devotees, sohadam, and compassion for all living beings. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. It's very interesting. Devotees seem to ask for similar things. Bhakti, which is not shakable. Imagine, Ram Vallabha, we could have bhakti which would always remain steady. That would be so nice, isn't it? Never, not we wouldn't have winter bhakti and summer bhakti. We wouldn't be one day high and one day low in our bhakti. Unshakable bhakti. I think that's a very good blessing to ask. And then he wanted to have friendship with his, with Krishna's devotees. No politics, no misunderstandings, just loving friendship with Krishna, his devotees. And then a compassionate feeling for all living beings. So Krishna, when he heard that this devotee was only asking for spiritual things, Krishna thought, okay, he wants only spiritual things, but I want to help him also in this life. And therefore, he blessed him and offered him strength, a long life, fame, beauty, and ever-increasing prosperity for his family. So, I want to come to an end. Krishna's pastimes are always also meant to teach us something. And I want to contrast these two devotees, these two people, the washerman who didn't want to serve Krishna, and Sudama who gave his whole flower garland. In Krishna consciousness, we should be enthusiastic to give Krishna what he already owns. We should think of giving him as much as we can give of our time, our energy, and things which we can find. Hare Krishna Vishakha. I always feel sad when the curtain closes. I always think of Krishna can't tolerate any longer my attempts to glorify him. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. It is said that the devatas take from their worshippers as much as a honey melon, and they return them as much as a mustard seed, very small. Human beings take from you as much as a mountain. They take a mountain from you. Look at the children, you know, when you have children, you give them really a mountain of attention and a mountain of toys and a mountain of food. I can imagine your little Satya, skinny Satya, has already eaten enough sweets as big as this house is, you know, and you had to run and cook for her. So, and they give you back as much as a mustard seed. But the Supreme Lord is different. Even if you only give him as much as a mustard seed, the Lord gives you back much more than a mountain. This is how the saying goes. I heard it, by the way. All these little details are not from my own research. I mean, something is something of something from here and there, but this is from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, whose lecture I heard and then digested it. I thought it's very nice point. He made this point that Sudama Vipra gave Krishna only a little chipped rice. And look what Krishna returned to Sudama Vipra. He gave him also achalam bhakti, unshakable bhakti, and a palace. So because Sudama went into the palace and never forgot his well-wishers, Sri Krishna. His bhakti was unshakable, even in the midst of all this wealth. Krishna is so kind. When we just serve him a little bit, the Lord feels obliged. Rupa Goswami says in one of his works, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Lord Krishna is even grateful for services which are rendered to him in a previous life. He never forgets. He never forgets that you may have in a previous life entered a temple and put an apple on his altar, which the pujari later found and then prepared in a apple chutney for the Lord or some other preparation. When you give something to Krishna, one thing which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his commentary to the Bhagavad Gita is, even if a sense enjoyer gives some little service to Krishna, the sense enjoyer is quickly purified of all impurities, because when you give something to Krishna, Krishna will come into your heart and free your heart from lusty desires to enjoy this world. That's why we have often seen people who give a donation to Krishna, after some time they always want to give donations for Krishna. I have seen this often as a devotee, in my service to collect donations. I have come to people and they have given a lot, and I found out many like to give more, and I'm going in my Western mood, oh no, please, you have given so much and you are so poor, and please don't give any more. But they like to give. I have seen when I was in Russia, so many old people came and gave donations, and I asked Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, should I accept? These people are so poor, they should better eat, you know. He said, no, the Russian people like to give. And I have seen, I've read in Indrajumna Maharaj's diary that there are people who live in absolute poverty, but they in Russia, but they like to give. They give donations of hundreds and thousands of dollars, because it's like this: when you give to Krishna, Krishna enters your heart and frees you from the pangs of these material desires, which always pull at you. So therefore, giving to Krishna is something very nice to do. So this is what I wanted to explain to you. I hope I could reach out to you. I've noted that some of you are very awake and have bright smiles on their face, and others are severely fighting with tiredness. Why not sleep a little bit before this Krishna Katha? This is possible. Then it is so much better to listen and no struggle and so on. That's a good idea, I think. Good. So, Hare Krishna. Now I wanted to see, do you have any questions regarding these pastimes of Lord Krishna?
Rasika Acharya, oder? Das ist der Name.
What was the destination of the washerman? As far as I know, all the demons who were killed by Krishna were absorbed in his effulgence. I know that Lord Brahma had once been disturbed on Satyaloka there was such a loud music in the universe. And he asked what was the cause of the music, and then he found out that Krishna had just killed Agasura demon. And when Krishna walked out of Agasura, Agasura came as a little spark of light, and he just came into the effulgence of Krishna and was absorbed there. And that's why the devatas made so much noise and music. This is my information, but let me turn to Madhavananda if you have another or additional information.
That's what's been said. An interesting thing about the washerman, though, you may remember from Chaitanya Bhagavata, it's the question is raised, how is it that he got the darshan of the Lord? And it's said there that he performed austerities for thousands of lifetimes to get the darshan of the Lord. But Vrindavan Das Thakur says because he didn't have devotion, the result wasn't auspicious, even though he'd done austerities for so
long. Oh, yeah. That washerman, this Ramlila washerman, he had decided.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he had decided. Let me do austerities to see the Lord, but he didn't have devotion. Yeah, complex psychological truth. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj, I have seen you. I will do you then.
We remember that Krishna didn't accept Duryodhana's
offerings. Yeah.
But here we hear that Krishna goes to the washerman and accepts Kamsa's dress.
Yeah. Yes, Krishna had another idea. When Duryodhana offered Krishna a huge feast, Krishna told him, how can I eat? In order to eat, two conditions need to be there. First is the person, one condition is the person who eats must have hunger in order to eat. And the second is the person who offers has to have love in his heart, so that even when the person who accepts has no hunger, because of the love of the person who offers the food, he feels induced to eat. So then he said, Duryodhana, but two of these conditions are not fulfilled. I have a body made of Sachit Ananda. Krishna can say, I have a body of Sachit Ananda. So I cannot be hungry, and you don't love me. You hate me. Later, when Krishna was received by Duryodhana and Pati, they had a long row, Mahabharata explains, of servants who all were carrying gifts for Krishna like this. And they wanted Krishna to sit down on the throne, the soft throne, very comfortable throne of Duryodhana. But Krishna said, your presence are like poison. If I take them, I will be poisoned. And your throne is made of thorns for me, because someone who hates my devotees, the Pandavas, hates me. So therefore Krishna didn't even accept a sip of water from Duryodhana. But Siddheshwari has noted, but here he wears the cloth of Kamsa. He accepts the cloth of Kamsa. And the answer to this perplexing question is that he wanted to send him a signal. I have come to make you clothless. How symbolic, you know. We will tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, enter into the Svapna Vilas, an astrological book about dreams, and analyze the dreams of Kamsa before he was killed. And you will, oh my God, is this psychological? That really. So Kamsa
in the dream would see, in a recurring dream, would see himself naked. His body all with oil. Krishna signal stuck. Yes, clothless. He already saw himself naked. Yeah, Krishna is like this. He sends signals. It's very interesting. I have given many lectures in the past where I say, don't try to see the beautiful face of God. See his hands, which make arrangements in your life and send you signs. A sign for a devotee is when he that he should maybe change something is a reoccurring feeling of lack of enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Then it's a sign that something is to be changed, because the nature of bhakti is joyfulness. You know, when he's depressed over a long period of time and suffers, it's not bhakti. He's not on the level of bhakti, you know. So Prabhupada always used to say, our devotees are joyful. So when you feel this narrowness in your life, it's maybe a sign of Krishna who tells you, Siddheshwari, move on. So Krishna was sending a sign into the royal palace. I'm taking your cloth. It will get quite dramatic. You will see when the confrontation is coming up between Kamsa and Krishna. We will see Kamsa ordering the whole arena to stop playing music, and the musicians don't follow him any longer. They start to play loud, joyous music that, like they've never played before. Yes, it will be the ultimate encounter we will hear very soon. It's quite something, Krishna. Smita Krishna Maharaj. Sudama. Yes, love for Krishna. Or in this case, that was Parikshit, wanted this, and bhakti. And here, Sudama wants Achala bhakti, unshakable bhakti. Then, friendship to Krishna's devotees. And the third is compassion to all living beings. I find this last thing, compassion, very, very, very interesting. I have found out that I do suffer a lot in my life because I have very high expectations in myself and in others. And then when others don't meet the expectations, in the past, I have often judged them and suffered because of that, because these are wonderful people. I have so often, since I'm aware of this prayer, often prayed, Krishna, please give me compassion for others. When you have compassion for others, that is a very good motive. Hare Krishna. Hier, da, Navina ist da, Madhava. Geradeaus. Oder manchmal müssen die, glaube ich, nur sehen, dass der Vater da ist. Ne? Madhava, da kann man ruhig durchgehen. Madhava, oder? So, compassion to others, that's a very, very wonderful sign, a wonderful thing to pray with. When you have compassion to others, you can forgive them very easily.
when you have compassion for others, you might also develop compassion for yourself and forgive yourself for the things which you are not yet satisfied with. This compassion for others also appears in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's theology, where he says jiva daya is a very important point, mercy to others. Hare Krishna, Vishaka. Thank you. No? Yamuna. When you close the altar, I will call you Vishaka. When you open the altar, I will call you Yamuna. Hare Krishna. Compassion to others. It's so valuable as a sign of Krishna Bhakti. Thank you, Sweta Krishna Maharaj. So, I really want to request you for a favor. My dear devotees, something is very clear to me. I really feel it is very good for us to hear about Krishna's pastimes. But see, I'm want to develop this, but I'm starting and I feel some anxiety in my heart. The anxiety is, will you like this or will you not like it? And because it is so dear to me personally, this Krishna Leela, I naturally want that you like it. It's almost like I show you my best friend, and if you don't like him, I feel, oh. But I'm very much aware that I'm just starting this. I have seen in old times, devotees would just sit together and talk about Krishna. They would also sing about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes and so on, in Padyavali kirtans. And they would sit for long days and just hear about Krishna. And I really desire to bring this into the, to make this a focus. If you meet me personally and you have some ideas how to improve, I would be very, very happy. So tomorrow we will hear about a very important meeting. Krishna meets Kubja, and Kubja represents with her horn-backed back, you know, Mother Earth, who feels tortured by the burden of demoniac rulers. So we will hear about this meeting, and then we will hear some. I don't know. Maybe we will, because time is short. Actually, I will not talk about Kucha. I will talk how Krishna entered the arena of Mathura after he had done many, many amazing pastimes, like breaking the bow of Lord Shiva, and the whole town had talked about Krishna but had not yet seen Krishna. So they all came into the wrestling arena and then saw Krishna, and what happened then is just wonderful. So, good. So, let us end here. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha, Shyam Sundara Radha. Go Premanandi, Adi Adi Bo.
Hare Krishna. Eine kurze Ansage für die Gaur-Arti heute. Die wird nicht um 7 Uhr stattfinden, sondern um 7.30 Uhr. Und weil sich die Dede-Begrüßung von 7 auf 7.15 Uhr verschoben hat, ist das tägliche Yoga morgens nicht um 6, sondern auch um 6.15 Uhr für diejenigen, die kommen möchten. So Gaur-Arti today is at 7.30 Uhr. And also daily yoga will be from tomorrow onwards instead of 6 at 6:15. Hare Krishna.